Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, May 16th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
developments on global trade are front and center.
Big limitations on Huawei.
The potential for fallout goes well beyond Huawei.
I have no plans yet to go to China. We don't have a date set.
While trade talks with China sputter, the White House delays tariffs on autos.
Stocks in Asia slump while bonds around the world rise.
Alabama's Republican governor signs the most stringent abortion legislation in the nation. Plus, President Trump unveils an immigration overhaul plan today. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stash. Aaron Swartz. The Jets fired their general manager. The Yankees won a doubleheader from Baltimore. The Mets lost in Washington. It's the opening round today of the PGA Championship on Long Island.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
In Moscow, U.S. futures and European stocks have been struggling for direction this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And U.S. futures are just starting to show a little bit of strength here. S&P futures up 3 points now. Dow futures up 23, and NASDAQ futures are up 7. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.2% now, also starting to show some strength. The CAC in Paris down about 0.1%, and the FTSE 100 is little change. Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 0.6%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was little changed. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.37%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.16%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.7% or 44 cents at $62.45 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2%, down $2.50 at $12.95.30 an ounce. The euro at 1.1212 against the dollar. The yen 109.58. Nathan.
Karen, tensions between the U.S. and China are flaring after President Trump signed an executive order restricting Chinese firms Huawei and ZTE from selling equipment in the U.S. Bloomberg's Derek Wallbank has the very latest from Singapore.
This is a major step for the U.S. It puts big limitations on Huawei. It complicates their life meaningfully, and it's a major shot as Huawei looks to ramp up its 5G across the world. It's an absolutely massive escalation on the American part, one the Chinese will not be happy about. Consider the reaction when a Chinese official was jailed in Canada and how upset China will be. Certainly, they're going to be just as upset, probably more at this point.
The executive order didn't name specific countries or companies, but it did declare a national emergency relating to threats against communications technology and services.
And in a separate action, the U.S. Commerce Department is putting Huawei on a blacklist that could stop it from doing business with U.S. companies. Peter Elstrom is Bloomberg's executive editor for technology in Asia.
This is a big deal for American suppliers because many of them sell billions of dollars worth of gear to Huawei. And Huawei, conversely, needs supplies of chips and optical equipment for these 5G networks that countries around the world are rolling out. So the potential for fallout goes well beyond Huawei to these countries with Huawei equipment that could slow down the evolution of many of these technologies we've been waiting for, including autonomous vehicles and smart homes and those sorts of things.
The actions from the White House and Commerce Department risk aggravating China as President Trump seeks an agreement on trade.
And there's still no word on when U.S. negotiators and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin will travel back to Beijing for the next round of trade talks.
I have no plans yet to go to China. We don't have a date set. I would expect that Ambassador Lighthizer and I, who've been doing this together, we go together at the appropriate time.
In testimony on Capitol Hill, the Treasury Secretary was cautious in his comments on trade.
There's still a lot of work to do, but I can assure you that President Trump is determined that we have free and fair trade and wants to have a fair relationship with rules that we can compete fairly.
Mnuchin says he's hopeful for a deal, but wouldn't say he's confident.
The next trade front for the White House is possible tariffs on cars from Europe and Japan. But Bloomberg News has learned President Trump is drafting plans to postpone those levies for 180 days. It's a delay, but not a reprieve. Sean Donnan has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The Trump administration is going to order a negotiation over our next 180 days with the aim of getting the EU and Japan to limit their exports of autos to the United States. And that is likely to deflate a little bit of the good news around the delay that we're expecting on auto tariffs.
According to a draft executive order seen by Bloomberg, the president determined that U.S. auto imports present a threat to national security because they hurt domestic producers and their ability to invest in new technologies.
Now, all these headlines on trade made for a mixed trading session in Asia today. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with the details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Well, Huawei suppliers in Hong Kong came under pressure after President Trump moved to curb Huawei's access to the U.S. market. Huawei rival ZTE, also targeted by the U.S., fell as much as 6% in Hong Kong and 5% in Shenzhen trade. However, markets in mainland China were mostly higher, buoyed by positive home prices data. In Tokyo, Japanese automakers fell despite reports the U.S. administration is expected to delay imposing tariffs on auto imports. The stronger yen saw the Nikkei 225 close lower by 0.6% to 21,062 points. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Back here in the U.S., shares of Cisco Systems are up almost 3.5% in early trading following a bullish forecast. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the story.
It is a sign that corporations are continuing to spend on their computer networks amid optimism China and the U.S. will resolve their trade conflict. Cisco said sales in the fiscal fourth quarter will increase 4.5% to 6.5% from the same period a year earlier. Cisco, whose equipment makes up the backbone of the Internet and corporate networks, has returned to growth by revamping existing products and adding new software and services under a corporate makeover by CEO Chuck Robbins. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thanks. This morning we get earnings from Walmart. Here with a preview, Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Walmart has softened expectations, letting the markets know that operating income and adjusted earnings will likely be down from the prior first quarter. Bloomberg Intelligence says analysts think both metrics will improve as the year goes on, turning positive in the fourth quarter. Same-store sales may have increased in the latest quarter, and solid e-commerce growth is anticipated. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jeff, thank you. And the European Union is fining five banks for colluding on foreign exchange trading strategies. Citigroup, JP Morgan, Barclays, RBS, and Mitsubishi UFG will be fined a combined $1.2 billion. And futures again turning higher. S&P futures up 3.5 points right now. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. 6:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Alabama's Republican governor signed the most stringent abortion legislation in the nation, making performing an abortion a felony in nearly all cases. Governor Kay Ivey said in a statement that every life is precious and that every life is a sacred gift from God. Some view the law as being designed to challenge Roe v. Wade. Democratic presidential candidate Kirsten Gillibrand says they're rolling back the clock.
This is an all-out assault, state after state, over 39 efforts in this country to undermine women's reproductive freedoms.
The ban is set to go into effect in 6 months, but is expected to face a lawsuit to block it. President Donald Trump will unveil a new plan today to overhaul the existing U.S. immigration system with a program developed by his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. The proposal calls for some of Trump's promised border wall to be constructed while ignoring key Democratic priorities, including DACA. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham expressed concerns about the State Department's decision to order non-emergency employees out of Iraq amid rising tensions with Iran. Graham says his only source of information is from the news media, and he'd like an explanation from the Trump administration.
I have no idea what the threat stream is beyond what I read in the paper. I think there are a lot of people in my shoes that are going to support standing up to Iran, but we need to understand what we're doing.
It looks like New York Mayor Bill de Blasio is heading straight to the campaign trail today following a morning TV appearance where he's expected to announce that he's making a bid for the Democratic presidential nomination. The NTSB is investigating a helicopter crash in the Hudson River. Only the pilot was on board yesterday and amazingly survived it with only a cut to his hand. The owners of the Ritz-Carlton Central Park are exploring a sale after receiving interest from at least two buyers. According to people familiar with the matter, owners Westbrook Partners and Korea Investment are in discussions with Qatar's Katara Hospitality and Trinity White City Ventures. The owners are said to be seeking $600 million. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, strange day for the Jets. They fired their general manager, promoted their coach who hasn't coached a game yet, and then saw him in his first day on the job make a trade. Mike Maccagnan's out after 4 years, even though he's the one who oversaw offseason free agency in the draft. New coach Adam Gase, now the interim GM. There was apparently friction between Maccagnan and Gase, even though Maccagnan wanted to hire Gase. And Gase then traded linebacker Darren Lee, who Maccagnan had drafted in the first round in 2016, goes to Kansas City for a sixth-round pick next year. Yankees swept a doubleheader from the Orioles, 5-3, then 3-1, so two wins for Aaron Boone.
Yeah, it's big. Obviously, the rainouts and knowing you got to come in and play a doubleheader, I thought the energy the guys came out with in the first game was excellent. A lot of guys contributing again today, and a really good way to head into the off day when you can put two wins in your pocket.
Gleyber Torres hit two home runs in the opener and one in the nightcap. Youngest Yank to hit three in one day since Joe DiMaggio in 1937. Mets had just four hits, lost in Washington 5-1. Patrick Corbin struck out 11. NBA playoffs, Milwaukee came from behind to win game one of the East Final with Toronto 108-100. The Bucks won the fourth quarter 32-17. NHL, San Jose won 5-4 in overtime in St. Louis for a 2-1 lead in the West. Sharks tied the game with a minute left in regulation. They tee off early this morning at Bethpage Black on Long Island. The PGA Championship moved from August to May. Tiger Woods off his win at the Masters starting this morning at 8:24. Bloomberg Radio starts live coverage today at 4:15. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stanchion. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. In other sports news, the WNBA has a new commissioner. She's Kathy Engelbert, the CEO of Deloitte US, an accounting organization that works with Fortune 500 companies. Engelbert was the first woman to hold that job. She will begin leading the WNBA July 17th, once her term as CEO at Deloitte concludes. Futures pointing higher now, with S&P futures up 9 points, Dow futures up 73, NASDAQ futures up 25 points. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at nria.net.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 6:17 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. The White House is opening a new front in its tussle with China. President Trump signed an order to restrict Huawei and ZTE from selling gear in the US. Cisco is out with a bullish forecast after third quarter results beat. The company made progress shifting its supply chain to shrink exposure to China. 13F filings show Carl Icahn exited Dell Technologies after a spat with founder Michael Dell. Meanwhile, Berkshire Hathaway says its new Amazon bet totaled $860 million at the end of March. And California investigators say PG&E power lines caused the deadly Camp Fire. However, questions remain as to whether the company acted negligently in maintaining the line that sparked the blaze. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
Hannah, thank you. S&P futures adding to their gains now, up 9 points. Dow futures up 68 and NASDAQ futures up 25. The DAX in Germany also looking better, up 0.6% right now. The CAC in Paris and FTSE 100 now also moving higher. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.37%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.17%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 33 cents at $62.35 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2%, down $2.90 at $12.94.90 an ounce. The euro 1.1207 against the dollar. The yen 109.65. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Democrats and abortion rights advocates are calling Alabama's new stringent abortion law a slap in the face to women voters. The state's Republican governor signed legislation making performing an abortion in Alabama a felony in nearly all cases, including rape and incest. Governor Kay Ivey says that every life is precious and that every life is a sacred gift from God. President Donald Trump is announcing an immigration proposal later today aimed at improving border security and revamping the green card system. In baseball, the Yankees swept a doubleheader against the Orioles. The Mets lost to the Nationals 5-1. The Red Sox and Giants were winners. In the NBA playoffs, the Bucks won the opener in the Eastern Conference Finals over the Raptors. NHL playoffs, the Sharks beat the Blues in overtime to lead the series 2-1. Round one of the PGA Championship begins this morning at Bethpage Black. You can hear it right here on Bloomberg Radio starting at 4:15 p.m. Wall Street time. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence, valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
620 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Could get a clearer picture of the tech industry today when chipmaker NVIDIA reports its first quarter earnings after the close of trading. Here with a preview, Bloomberg Intelligence semiconductor analyst Anand Srinivasan. Always good to talk with you, Anand. What's your outlook for NVIDIA?
Look, it's going to be a mixed bag, right? So one of the things that we are looking for is half the business, give or take, is run by gaming. And that business has been sluggish, and demand has been sort of been opaqued, if there is any such word, by the cryptocurrency business. Now, that overhang is gone, and we'll see what the organic growth rate of the gaming business is. We think it's in the low teens at best. There's a lot of inventory that needs to be gotten rid of, and there is a new architecture that is driving the gaming business. Now, we'll see if the uptake of that new architecture and those new chips across price points is as strong as NVIDIA wants it to be, and that's going to drive the remainder of the year. The data center business, which is their GPUs that are used for servers, predominantly for AI, that has been very, very strong as well. But that's a little small, number one. And number two, that's heavily driven by the cloud companies, Amazon, Google, et cetera. Now, that business has been on a little bit of a, has seen a little bit of an air pocket. Second half should be stronger than the first half for sure. But we'll see again if that strength is enough to take NVIDIA's total sales to minus 5 to plus 5-ish percent for the year. If that thesis holds true, then we can look forward to fiscal 2021. If, on the other hand, gaming is a little weak or data center doesn't catch on quite as strongly in the second half, then the multiple that we have on NVIDIA, which is the second highest among large semiconductor stocks, that will be questioned by investors. So we have a couple of moving parts here on NVIDIA that we need to assess through in the next couple of quarters. We also want to see inventory go down, which is a good sign that sell-through is happening.
I wonder how much of a factor the ongoing U.S.-China trade dispute could be on NVIDIA, given the obvious exposure that tech generally has to Asia.
Absolutely. So that's a great question. Look, first and foremost, the China landscape and sort of pressure on China is going to impact the tech industry from an assembly perspective. Most electronics gear is made in China, assembled in China. They're actually a net importer of chips, Huawei included. So Huawei, funnily enough, most people may not know that Huawei is one of the top 10 server makers in the world. So to the extent that they make servers using NVIDIA chips or Intel chips, and how much of a pressure are they going to see? So the direct impact is going to be from assembly. Second is you're going to see some impact from Huawei gear in the not being able to be sold in the United States. I think that's less of an impact. But the ongoing spat between the U.S. and China and potential retaliatory measures by the Chinese, this is not a good thing for the tech industry at large and specifically for semiconductors and hardware.
Anand Srinivasan covers semiconductors for Bloomberg Intelligence. Again, NVIDIA reports after the close of trading today. As Anand mentioned, the consensus is mixed with first quarter sales for next year seen about $2.2 billion. That'd be a 31% drop from last year, and earnings per share of 81 cents. Again, we'll get the report after the close of trading today. At 6:24 on Wall Street, we're going to have much more on Bloomberg Daybreak on the rising tensions between the U.S. and China, particularly after that executive order signed by President Trump yesterday. In the meantime, S&P futures are pointing 9 points higher now. Dow futures up 75 points and NASDAQ futures up 26 points. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Burden LLP. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit burdenllp.com. Burden, accountants and advisors. They listen, they solve, they do.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures have turned higher and are trading at their best levels of the morning as investors digest the latest trade headlines involving the U.S. and China. Meanwhile, President Trump is moving to curb Huawei Technologies' access to the U.S. market. We get details from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Doug Krisner.
The president declared a national emergency against security threats, and while his executive order doesn't name any countries or companies, it will restrict products from Huawei and fellow Chinese telecom equipment maker ZTE from being used in the U.S. American telecom providers must now get a license to use these Chinese vendors. Huawei called the restrictions unreasonable and said they infringe on Huawei's rights. Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thanks. Shares of Cisco are up 3.5% in early trading. The company gave a bullish sales and profit forecast as corporations continue to spend on computer networks. Walmart, Applied Materials, and NVIDIA report their earnings today.
In Europe, shares of Thomas Cook are down 18%. The British tour operator warns of another tough summer and says it'll get a $385 million rescue loan only if it makes progress selling its airline.
Burberry shares are lower by almost 5%. The company posted sluggish sales in China and says overall guidance for the coming year remains unchanged.
We're getting more details about Warren Buffett's investment in Amazon. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has that story.
Berkshire Hathaway revealed that its new Amazon bet totaled $860.6 million at the end of March. The 13F filing shows Berkshire also spent the first 3 months of the year ramping up bets on JPMorgan Chase and Red Hat while pairing investments in Southwest Airlines and Wells Fargo. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. On the M&A front, Nestle's in talks for one of the biggest private equity deals of the year. It's negotiating to sell its skincare business for more than $10 billion.
And the European Union fining five banks for colluding on foreign exchange trading strategies. Citigroup, JP Morgan, Barclays, RBS, and Mitsubishi UFG will be fined a combined $1.2 billion. We also have this headline, crossing the Bloomberg Colfax to sell air and gas handling to KPS for about $1.7 billion in cash. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 10 points this morning. Dow futures up 93. NASDAQ futures up 28. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd. The yield 2.37%. Yield on the 2-year 2.17%. And the euro at 1.1211 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by Bernstein Medical. Losing your hair? Learn how Bernstein Medical uses your own hair to create natural, permanent results. Explore BernsteinMedical.com or visit their Manhattan Center. Bernstein Medical, a world leader in robotic hair transplants. Now here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. And this is just coming in now. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio has just announced that he is running officially for the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination. Alabama Republican Governor Kay Ivey has signed a bill that would make it a felony to perform an abortion in nearly all cases, with no exceptions for rape or incest. Democratic presidential candidate Kirsten Gillibrand is blasting the measure.
This is a basic, fundamental human right of every female in this country, and you are telling them that men in legislatures across America should get to decide when they have children, how many they have, and what types of health care they may have access to. We are rolling back the clock decades.
Opponents of the law have vowed to challenge it in court. Sudden White House military and diplomatic moves in the Middle East are triggering alarms in Congress. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
Contrary to a flurry of State Department warnings over heightened tensions in the Gulf region, some key U.S. allies are saying they've seen no increased risk. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi warned President Trump away from war with Iran, and lawmakers from both parties are demanding more information on Trump's thinking.
More. There need to be briefings. Forget about more briefings. There need to be briefings.
Democrat Bob Menendez likens it to false warnings over weapons of mass destruction that led the U.S. into military conflict with Iraq. While top congressional leaders have been promised a classified briefing from the administration today, Speaker Pelosi says the White House has resisted a wider presentation for all lawmakers, part of what Democrats say is a pattern of stonewalling. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump is expected to announce today a new plan to overhaul America's immigration system. California investigators have determined PG&E's power lines ignited the deadliest blaze in state history. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
This is the campfire that stormed its way through the area of Paradise in Northern California, and it opens a door now to more liability. PG&E has already warned damages could exceed $30 billion. The news came just as PG&E's new CEO, Bill Johnson, was explaining to state legislators why he is the right person for the job. Also in the brief statement is the fact that CAL FIRE has forwarded the investigation to the Butte County District Attorney, saying it should look into potential criminal charges. 85 people died in the fire. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We're coming up to 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashar.
Nathan, Dave Gettleman's been criticized heavily for making moves by the Giants, but at least they have a general manager. The Jets don't. They fired Mike Maccagnan just weeks after Maccagnan oversaw the draft and heavy spending in free agency. Apparently, Maccagnan wasn't getting along with new coach Adam Gase, so Gase is now the interim GM. And his first day on the job, he made a trade. Sent linebacker Darren Lee to Kansas City for a sixth-round draft pick. Lee had served a drug suspension last season. Maccagnan had drafted him in the first round 3 years ago. Yankees swept a doubleheader from Baltimore, 5-3, then 3-1. Aroldis Chapman saved them both, first for Jay Happ, then for Domingo Germán, who's now 8-1. Gleyber Torres homered in both, two in the opener. He's hit six homers this year against the Orioles. Yanks have won 18 of 24, but they've lost Miguel Andujar, second in the Rookie of the Year voting last year, and now season-ending shoulder surgery. In Washington, three runs in the first inning off Mets starter Wilmer Font. The Nationals won 5-1. Milwaukee Bucks 9-1 in the NBA playoffs. A comeback 108-100 win over Toronto for a 1-0 lead in the East Finals. San Jose Sharks won in St. Louis, 5-4 in overtime, and they lead that NHL series 2-1. The PGA Championship now being played in May and played this year at Bethpage Black, the public course on Long Island. Brooks Koepka, defending champ, he's won three majors.
You've got to find a chip or got to find something to motivate yourself and give you that extra little something going into a tournament or going into an event, whatever it might be, to really want to push you over that line.
Koepka tees off at 8:24 this morning. He's playing with Tiger Woods, who won the U.S. Open at Bethpage 17 years ago. Live coverage of the PGA on Bloomberg Radio today, starting at 4:15. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right. Thank you. It is 6:37 now on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
President Trump's trade dispute with the EU should be easier to resolve than his fight with China. In fact, if common sense prevails, it should be easy to get past disagreement and start working on bigger ideas for expanded transatlantic trade. One goal should be to eliminate tariffs on industrial goods. This would boost exports for both Europe and the U.S., while improving competitiveness and lowering costs for consumers. A second goal should be to allow products approved by regulators on one side of the Atlantic to be sold on the other without added permissions. The U.S. should recognize that a trade bloc of the EU size won't be bullied. Europe, for its part, should accept that tweet threats from the president are inevitable. If the two sides want to make a deal, it's there for the making. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Coming up to 6:39 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker.
With delivery orders booming across the restaurant industry, new style cookhouses are popping up. They're called ghost kitchens. No cashiers, no tables, and no diners. An example is Kitchen United. It's a startup that plans to have as many as 15 locations across the country by the end of the year. In Chicago, their site is buzzing with conveyor belts, zipping bags of deli sandwiches across the kitchen and down the side of the building to waiting DoorDash and Uber Eats drivers. One benefit of ghost kitchens is the ability to sell multiple brands. Rather than paying as much as $500,000 up front for a new restaurant, a chef can open a location in a shared space kitchen that makes food for to-go and delivery customers. The cost, about $20,000, plus a $5,000 monthly fee, which is about half the rent for a brick-and-mortar restaurant. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
Thank you, John. Another story we're watching this morning, Apple's loss at the Supreme Court. It is a decision that could pave the way for consumers to challenge other tech giants like Google and Amazon. Nancy Lyons has more from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Apple argued that it cannot be sued by consumers because of a 1977 Supreme Court decision concerning Illinois Brick. That decision held only direct product buyers can sue to collect damages under antitrust law. But the court says that's not the case.
Illinois Brick does not apply in this situation, and consumers, so you and me, we can sue Apple for any app violations.
Bloomberg Law's Victoria Graham says other companies that run similar online marketplaces like Google and Amazon could also face new consumer lawsuits. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. S&P futures up 9 points now. Dow futures up 86 points. NASDAQ futures up 25 and a half. This is Bloomberg. Coming up, the morning call brought to you by Columbia Bank. Yield Plus Checking from Columbia Bank takes the stable growth of a high-rate CD and combines it with the freedom of a checking account. Visit a branch today or ColumbiaBankOnline.com. Count on Columbia.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street, and futures are moving higher this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are climbing right now, with Dow futures up 78 points. S&P's gain 8.5, while the NASDAQ futures rise by 21. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.38%. Oil is trading higher, and Shanghai rose 0.6% overnight. Well, European markets are also climbing, led by gains in Germany. Back in the U.S. on the economic front, 8:30, housing starts, Philly Fed, and initial jobless claims. After the bell last night, Cisco gave an upbeat forecast. Shares are higher by 3.3% in the pre-market. And regarding earnings this morning, look for Walmart to report around 7 a.m. In other news, Trump signed an order expected to restrict China's Huawei and ZTE from selling gear in the U.S. And in deal news, Colfax to sell its air and gas handling unit to KPS for $1.66 billion. In cash. Wrapping things up, Macy's was upgraded to neutral over at Goldman Sachs. KB Home upgraded to outperform at RBC. And SAIC upgraded to outperform over at Wells Fargo. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says he's joining the crowded field of Democrats running for president in 2020. De Blasio becomes the 23rd Democrat to join the race. Alabama now has the nation's strictest abortion law. Governor Kay Ivey signed the bill into law. Supporters hope this lays the groundwork for a Supreme Court challenge to Roe v. Wade. In baseball, the Yankees swept a doubleheader against the Orioles. The Mets lost to the Nationals 5-1. The Red Sox and Giants were winners. In the NBA playoffs, the Bucks won the opener in the Eastern Conference Finals over the Raptors. NHL playoffs, the Sharks beat the Blues in overtime to lead the series 2-1. Round one of the PGA Championship begins this morning at Bethpage Black. You can hear it right here on Bloomberg starting at 4:15 p.m. Wall Street time. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump's executive order barring U.S. companies from buying telecommunications equipment from firms that are deemed a national security risk. President Trump meeting today with the president of Switzerland before unveiling an overhaul of the U.S. immigration system. As you heard Michael mention, the Democratic field for president growing by yet one more. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio announcing his bid. For more on all this, let's bring in Greg Valliere, chief U.S. policy strategist at AGF Investments. Always good to talk with you, Greg. Let's start with the breaking news. How do you assess this Democratic field now with Mayor de Blasio now a part of it?
What an amazing story, Nathan. And now maybe we'll get to two dozen. Maybe it'll be one more. I mean, you've got a situation where the first debate, believe it or not, is only a month, 5 weeks away in Miami. They're going to have two debates with the top 20. So there'll be just an enormous cast. I think the problem for Biden is that since he's the front runner, he's also the target.
And how do you see the debates, though, potentially winnowing the field? I mean, will that be the case as we get to those debates? Could we see a winnowing quickly?
Maybe we'll start. I mean, the first candidate who has looked shaky and has to reassess everything is Beto O'Rourke, who's gotten off to a very weak start, and there may be some others as well. But this is really a problem for the Democrats. I think that it means it's going to be a long, long time before we get somebody with enough delegates to be declared as the nominee. We could go well into next spring.
Let's talk about de Blasio specifically, since he did just announce his bid. What does he bring to the field, how would you assess his chances?
Poor. He's not even that popular in New York, from what I can gather. But I think he is still another progressive, a very outspoken progressive. But, boy, that category is pretty full with Bernie and Elizabeth Warren and many, many others. I'm not sure there's room for one more.
And in terms of where the Democratic race goes at this point, when we have former Vice President Biden leading the field so early at this point, and, you know, as you mentioned, so many other progressive candidates vying for attention, how do you see this shaking out?
Well, I think we'll probably be down to four or five who have – it's all about delegates. So we'll be down to four or five: Biden, Sanders, Warren, who's off to a pretty good start. She scares the markets, but she's off to a good start. I think Kamala Harris probably would be in the final mix. And there might be room for one or two sleepers, maybe Mayor Pete of South Bend, maybe Castro of San Antonio. So there will be some new younger names, but you know, Biden is the clear favorite.
Now let's move on to policy this morning. Obviously, the trade tensions with China front and center. We heard from Treasury Secretary Mnuchin yesterday on Capitol Hill talking about the possibility of more trade talks, but you know, tariffs looming, and now we have this executive order targeting Huawei.
Yeah, I think things with China will stay rocky at least until the big summit in Japan at the end of June. However, let me take a contrarian stance here. I think there have been some encouraging signs in the last 24 hours on trade. We're not going to have an auto tariff. That's been deferred by at least 6 months. And all of a sudden, there are signs of progress with Canada and Mexico on the replacement deal for NAFTA. If we do get that, it looks like maybe the aluminum and steel tariffs that have really upset people in Canada might get lifted. So I think on those two issues, things look a little better. And then one final positive note, a really interesting leak in the Washington Post this morning about Iran. Trump doesn't want to go to war with Iran. He's, I think, going to rein in John Bolton. Trump's an isolationist. He doesn't want to send 100,000 new troops to the Middle East. So I think Iran looks better, and I think trade looks better.
On Iran, there was a very interesting piece in the Washington Post where the president appears to be diverging with his national security advisor. At the same time, you're hearing from Republicans and Democrats wondering what exactly is going on in Iran. What is this threat that has the State Department pulling non-essential government workers out of Iraq?
Great point. I mean, there's still people who are unnerved by what happened in the war with Iraq, who are gun-shy to do something similar. So I think they've had an influence on the White House, just as an awful lot of Republicans have influenced the White House on trade. So this grumbling on Capitol Hill is finally getting through to the president.
That's Greg Valliere. He is the chief U.S. policy strategist at AGF Investments. Always good to get your insights. And we're going to have much more coming up from Washington as well, where President Trump later this afternoon is expected to unveil a revamped immigration policy for the U.S. You can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Greg, thanks again for being with us on Daybreak. It is 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. The Democratic complaining about all the people vying for the Oval Office instead of the Senate is way beyond overkill. The only persuasive case of misallocated political resources is the newest officially declared presidential candidate, Montana Governor Steve Bullock. Democrats think Bullock could move a Montana Senate seat from solid Republican to toss-up all by himself. So it's a big deal that he's running for president instead, especially since he's a highly improbable nominee at this point. But beyond that, there's little reason to think the huge presidential field is otherwise harming the party's prospects. It's still too early to know how Senate recruitment is going for either party. I'd also caution that outsiders who don't know a state's politics will sometimes incorrectly assume that the name or two they recognize is the strongest candidate. Sure, some presidential candidates probably could have made better choices, both for themselves and for the issues they care about. It's just that most of those choices don't really involve Senate elections in 2020. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Karen.
Thanks, Nathan. 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
For the third time since last August, Monsanto has lost big in a jury trial over the company's popular weed killer, Roundup Ready. A jury in San Francisco has ordered the company to pay a combined punitive damage award of more than $2 billion to a couple claiming the herbicide caused their cancer. The company says it will appeal, and a lawyer for the couple concedes the massive punitive award, almost 36 times the actual damages, is likely to be reduced on appeal. An estimated 13,000 plaintiffs have lawsuits pending against St. Louis-based Monsanto, which is owned by the German chemical giant Bayer, or Bayer, in the U.S. Monsanto VP George Lombardi has defended the product.
It is the most widely used herbicide in the world. It's the most widely studied herbicide in the world.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency considers the weed killer safe, saying exposure to the active ingredient glyphosate poses no risk of concern for people exposed to it by any means, on farms, in yards, and along roadsides, or as residue left on food crops. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Bob, thank you. S&P futures up 10 points. Dow futures up 85. NASDAQ futures up 24. The 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.38%. And the yield on the 2-year is at 2.17%. NYMEX crude oil up about 1% now, or 59 cents at $62.61 a barrel. And Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keen and Jonathan Farrow straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.